What? I'm not listening. I was reading a thing and making fun of the Solo movie.
Oh.
Can't its name just be Solo?
Is it so wrong to literally have his name just be Han Solo?
His name is Han.
Right. Can't his name just be Han Solo?
Why? Oh, why? So it's like all one word?
No.
In the movie?
His name is like Han Chesterfield or something. Like he has a last name.
Oh.
He just calls himself Han Solo because he's always by himself.
That's a little emo.
Which makes me wonder how Kit Fisto got his name.
No, I mean, well, I thought that Han was his only name and they just gave him the name Solo.
Oh, all right. I'll
like, all the other humans have last names. Like, there's no way his name is just Han.
Well, that was what the movie said. I mean, Johnny Cash's name was never John. His name was J.R. Cash, and when he joined the Navy, they forced him to have a first name, so he just picked John.
Well, then his first name was Jay. I mean, he had a first name.
He just had initials. His name was J.R. Cash.
Sure. So that's a name. His name was J.R.
Yeah. Yeah, but he didn't really have a first name. He just had an initial.
But who shot him?
He had. Point is, he had a name.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a blast from the 80s.
Well, I mean,
familial names are a thing in the Star Wars universe. They exist. There are Skywalkers. There are Organas. There are family names.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
They're Palpatines.
There are Palpatines. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Sheev.
I would love to see a movie
little
about
baby
Palpatine. Just a movie about the Palpatines. Like how did Palpatine come to be as evil as he was? That is a story I would like to see. I mean, because that's what Lucas wanted to do. Lucas originally wanted to do in the prequels is show you Darth Vader and how Darth Vader became Darth Vader. But I would love to see the story of Palpatine.
I take umbrage with you declaring that Palpatine was evil.
Well, I'm not saying.
He brought harmony to the universe.
Yeah,
he united all these troubled peoples.
But he was He, in our viewpoint...
Sure, if you listen to terrorist propaganda...
That was brought to us.
You listen to terrorist propaganda...
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
From my point of view, it is the Jedi who are evil.
The point is, surnames exist.
Yeah.
So these people have a last name of some kind.
Well, no, I mean...
Smith or Johnson or Chesterfield.
Just the surnames exist doesn't mean that everyone in the universe or every human in the universe has a surname. I mean, not every human on Earth has a surname, and we pretty clearly use them.
We've got Cher,
who has a surname. Who has a surname.
No. They changed it. They changed it.
Sure, so...
I mean, Prince didn't even have a name for a while.
Yeah, he had a symbol.
Yeah.
He was the artist that formerly known as Prince, and he hated that.
Yeah.
The point is, little baby Han had a name. It's just stupid is all it is. Like, I get that you want to show how he got his gun. You want to show how he got his ship. You want to show how he got his pet talking dog. You want to show all these things. You don't need to show how he got his name. His name's just Han Solo. It's literally just his name. Can we just not? Can we just not?
Have you seen it yet?
That little Luke guy, he walks on the sky all the time.
His
name's just Luke Skywalker.
Well, you know, not everybody
or that's just his fucking name.
Not everybody has got to have the name that's surrounding the profession that they do. Luke doesn't walk around the sky. Biggs doesn't throw around dark layers.
Maybe he does. He lights the dark. He is our one savior.
With magic missiles.
Yeah. I just want to flash back to like 20 years ago when someone's like, Andy, huh? How much is that pile of stuff over there weigh? And you're like, well, about a ton. They're like, we're calling you Andy Wellton. And that's where you got your name from. Before that, you had no name.
What?
Well, that's how Han Solo worked.
Well, I mean, there were things to criticize
like
in the movie.
Evil.
I don't think like, that's really one of
so
them.
So it's like, David, could you Google sausage? And you're like, I don't like Google and I don't like sausage. I'm like, well, why don't you, I don't know, Bing Ham? And you're like, all right, that's my name now.
Well,
that's not how names work.
when you're signing up for the army and you don't have the name to fit into the form, they just fucking make something up.
So
and
Han that's, was Polish, is what you're telling me?
Well, it's exactly the same thing that happened to Johnny Cash. He went in and signed up for the army, and they said you can't just have initials; you have to have a name.
So Han signed up for the Empire, and that's how he had to give a new.
Yeah,
he was like, I'm just Han.
Yeah, yeah. He said, my name's Han, and he said, don't you have another name? And he's like, no. And so the guy signing up just says, okay, you're Han Solo, and he goes on.
What if was he there with somebody else? Would he be Han Party of Two?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
don't change the canon entirely.
You can eat when you find the Dufresnes.
Where the hell is that from? Where you can eat when you find the Dufresnes?
Mitch Hedberg.
Oh God, yes.
So how long?
Who can eat at a time like this? People are missing.
Just on the topic of Mitch Hedberg, was I the only one that was like waiting for 2 weeks after he died for it to be an elaborate April Fool's joke because he died?
I think most comedians you expect to be an elaborate April Fool's joke.
Well, I mean, he died on what the very end of March. Like,
I was not expecting that, but I will admit that I was. It was not a negligible part of me that expected Kaufman to come out of retirement on the 30th anniversary of his death.
Yeah.
Like, it, when it came and went, I'm like, you know what? I legit wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah. For at least for Andy Kaufman to go into hiding, that's, to me, that's believable because there's going to be not many people around him that would have to hold that secret. Meanwhile, things like moon landings,
right,
on the other hand, that would require thousands upon thousands of people to keep that a secret if it's a fake or not.
All right. Plus, Andy already did stuff like that with the Tony Clifton thing with Bob Zemuda and everything. Yeah. So.
Well, yeah. And then, Clifton continued on afterward. I mean, the character continued on.
You mean the real person who obviously was not Andy Kaufman, because several times he performed while Andy Kaufman was visible other places.
Yes.
And then other times Tony Clifton, real person, would perform with a slightly different voice in places while Bob Zemuda was visible. So obviously these are three different people. It's just coincidentally you only see two of them at a time.
My favorite character from Deadpool 2 is Paul.
I wonder how in on it Jerry the King Lawler was.
He admitted it later.
I just wonder if at the beginning he was being played by Kaufman, was legit angry and stuff, and then eventually he caught on and retroactively claimed that he was always in on it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
There's nobody around to refute it now.
I'm totally in on it. I'm not a stooge at all.
I think probably the incident on Letterman.
Yeah.
I think it was staged, but I think it was one of those things that Lawler maybe, it maybe been something that reacted to the situation.
Sure.
That he, when he slapped Kaufman out of the chair.
So it even could be like, they Kaufman was like, we're going to do some crazy stuff and we'll just wing it.
Yes. Yeah. And then probably Lawler didn't like the winging.
Right.
And he is a legitimate person he's an old school wrestler. He's somebody who will legitimately throw a punch if there's shit going on, because the punks don't listen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious to know if it was as well, if it was all just an elaborate ploy or if there was actually some bad feelings in there, but I don't know. They work together.
Sure, sure. I'm sure by the end they were in on it together. You know what I mean? It's just, when did it start?
That and his, can you, it'd be really difficult for Kaufman to do what he did nowadays in the age of information.
Yes.
Because he wrestled.
Yeah, because a stagehand would be tweeting all of this shit immediately.
Not really, because we don't have stagehands tweeting magical tricks. Yeah. But
just the info would spread. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just I don't know if he could have actually lasted as well as he did back then, because his wackiness, I think, might just get on people's nerves eventually, especially if you're inundated with it.
In the world of YouTube, I can tell you there are some far more annoying people that are PewDiePie has more money than Kaufman ever did.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's true. But oh my god, I would love to play. I'd love to see Kaufman try to play like Battlefield with people watching him.
Well, Kaufman's just subtly smarter. You know what I mean? Like shit, like this, his Elvis impersonation sketch. You know, like where he did all these terrible impersonations to build up the fact, and it was painfully unfunny for way too long, just so he could hit you with a perfect Elvis impression at the very end. Elvis's favorite Elvis impression, no less.
Well, that, I mean, like
lip syncing Mighty Mouse. What the hell, the Mighty Mouse thing.
Like for no apparent reason. I mean, that's what a kid does.
Sure,
that's what a 5-year-old does. They go to, you know, hey mom, check this out, and then.
That's someone on national television. Exactly. I'm literally going to just stand here, do nothing for several minutes, lip sync one line of a children's theme song, and that's my sketch. Goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah.
And hey, everyone, welcome to Crippled System.
Yeah. Where did you come up with Andy Kaufman today? Was it just...
It was topical. We were just
talking about Mitch Hedberg. And,
yeah.
I was convinced for a while that it was an April Fool's Day joke because he died the day before April Fool's Day.
More just don't do drugs, kids.
Yeah.
I love the way his family handled it, where they're just like, yeah, you know, because a lot of people are like, you know, we respect your privacy in this time, blah, blah. His family's like, yeah, fucker died because he was stupid. Here's the drug results. He died from drugs, the moron.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, good for you.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's sad because his comedy is great. I love that straightforward, just kind of just tell a tale. That's why now I can't think of the comedian's name.
Yeah, Stephen Wright.
I never thought Wright was all that funny, but Hedberg was.
Yeah, they're subtly different, right? Yeah. You know, they're a little different. Wright did a lot more. Wright was very Emo Phillips-ish as well, in as much as he would straight face tell an absurd story.
Yeah.
Whereas Hedberg's stories were just kind of chit chat. Like, he wouldn't tell a fake story.
Yeah.
If he was going to tell a fake story, he would just say, hey, wouldn't it be crazy if this happened?
Yeah.
Whereas Stephen Wright obviously did not live on a one way dead end street. Those don't exist, but it's a funny straight laced joke to tell. The other current one, God, I'm blanking on his fucking name and it's bugging me. I'll remember later. But there's another, like, dry delivery guy. Dimitri Martin. Dimitri Martin's a current one that I like a lot. It's like...
He's got all the whiteboards and shit.
Yeah, yeah. He does, like, the dry whiteboards and stuff. But again, it's slightly different, but he's that same very dry way of telling jokes. Like, one of my favorite jokes of his, he talks about how he saw a guy with a leather jacket and he looked super cool, and he saw a guy with a leather vest and he looked lame. So, obviously, the secret to coolness is leather sleeves. It's funny. It's a very dry joke.
Mm.
Also, every animal's cooler if you add wings to it, except for birds. They just look awkward if you add more wings to them.
Yeah, that just sounds like Hedberg more.
Yeah, it's very Hedberg-esque. So if you're looking for something like Hedberg but not dead, I would recommend Dimitri Martin.
Ducks eat for free if they go to Subway.
There's a whole bunch of ducks out there and they're hungry. Mm-hmm. And they want sun chips.
My name is Andy, and I play the Keodor.
My name is Nathan, and I play Minions.
And I'm Dave, and I played Rhett yesterday, and I don't know what I'm playing tomorrow.
Was that a drafty thing, right?
Yeah, we did a caster draft. It was fun.
I know I couldn't make it, unfortunately, because I'm in hell. Was there a decent turn up?
No, there wasn't. There were. I mean, Rick had everything set up for like up to like 16 people.
I know he had
Kit for
like 20 people.
Yeah, and three people showed up. So Rick joined in the draft, and we did a round robin.
There we go.
So I mean, it was
got
fun.
Three rounds out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I played three different games. I can't complain. It was kind of sad that more people didn't show up because it was actually a fun event. You just can't take it too seriously because I am a scientist, and so I overanalyze the fuck out of everything because that's the only reason anyone will ever become a scientist, because they naturally have that tendency. And so I was doing that for Caster Draft, and Dan was kind of like, Dave,
stop it.
Stop.
Stop
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So I just built a balanced list and went in and actually won the thing. Although it was more for, I mean, when I say a balanced list, I was running Retribution and had a cricket, so I can't really complain about anything. But
cricket.
Yeah. But It was fun. There was a lot of ridiculous stuff. Like between, I drafted Rockwall, which is honestly one of my favorite spells in the game.
I think it's
up there with telekinesis and science importance, in my opinion, because it is one of the only spell that says you cannot put a model in this space on the board, and that is insanely powerful.
Rockwall, telekinesis, it's subtly flexible. Like a bad player, or I shouldn't just say a bad or new player, will look at Rockwall and go, okay, roll. Oh, yeah. Cool. I guess if my caster can have cover, that's neat.
Yeah.
And then better players would be like, no.
I can prevent charges with this shit.
You see that colossal and you see this giant portion of your army? Your army's immune to that colossal.
Yeah.
Enjoy. You know, like these are huge.
Yeah. So I drafted
and
Rock.
You can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
Unless you have like
purification.
Purification, that's get rid of it? I thought
it's an upkeep spell. If you catch the template itself, you're catching
spell. Okay. Yeah. I thought you had to catch the caster with the purification with that.
So. Okay. I drafted
That's rarer and rarer nowadays, purification.
Yeah. So I drafted Rockwall because it's an awesome spell, and Defender's Ward because it's a great spell, and Arcane Shield because it was available, and Crippling Grasp because I didn't want anyone else to have Crippling Grasp.
So Crippling Grasp, what, fourth round?
Or are you listing these out of order?
I'm listing these out of... I think I took Crippling Grasp the second pick of we did a snake draft, and I got Crippling Grasp on my second... I took the fourth and the fifth pick, and I got Crippling Grasp at that point, I believe.
What? So the first three people did not take Crippling Grasp.
No. Everybody else, to some extent, was focusing on buffing their caster.
Sure. I mean, and that's true. Like, because it isn't just a spell draft. There's stats in there and everything.
Yeah. Because
he had the butcher of pigdom.
Yeah. We calculated it out. His caster had synergy, and a 19-inch personal melee threat range. Because he had Shay's feet for a 3-inch move. He drafted extra speed, so he got up to speed 7. He had apparition. So 2 inches apparition, 3 inches feet, 7 inches move, 3 inches charge, and then
reach.
Because he drafted Wrathrock. And altogether, it was a 19-inch melee threat, and he had synergy, so he could spin that up ahead of time. And then on top of that, he had sprint, so so he would run up, kill a heavy, and sprint back.
Seems good.
Yeah, and then I deleted him with a cricket.
Seems better.
But no, I mean, one of the games against Nick, I mean, also one of the other spells I drafted was Mage Sight, because I looked at Nick's army, and it's like, you have trenchers, I need Mage Sight.
You know what stops a 19-inch linear threat range? Rock Wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to put this 1¾ inches in front of my caster. Thank you.
Wop, wop.
So I, between my Rock Wall and my Defender's Ward and my Halberdiers, I had a unit that was 19/20 into shooting. And Nick promptly shot them off the board because Nick also drafted both Parasite and Mortality.
Sure.
So he snuck an Arknode behind me and cast Parasite and Mortality on my on my dudes, and then killed them and killed my Arm 20 versus ranged weapons dudes with blast damage.
Mortality is not an upkeep.
Yes.
Oh, so it's just Calamity a spell. Is. I was just about to ask. Like, that's 2 upkeep spells.
No. Mortality is spammable.
Yeah.
Calamity is an upkeep because Calamity is strictly worse Crippling Grasp.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would call it strictly worse Mortality because you can't recast it, and it's very similar.
No, I mean, they're different in spammable versus upkeep is a tangible difference that has pluses and minuses. Yeah. Calamity is literally just Crippling Grasp, but worse.
Yeah.
It's an identical spell. But Crippling Grasp also hits additional stats.
Yeah. But so I mean that it was just ridiculousness after ridiculousness. The other guy, who came down from Northern Wisconsin to play, drafted Lola and had 9 Fury on his caster, which was fun, and Roulette for a feat.
Good old Roulette.
But like, I was the only one that had like a big spell list because I had my buffs. Clean. Yeah, I had my buffs and Crippling Grasp and Mage Sight and Rockwall and a couple more spells that I never. Oh, I had Breath Stealer to go with Crippling Grasp.
Were you at least like Focus 8 or something?
I was Focus 6.
Okay, so you had options, but you weren't exactly throwing them all out there.
Yeah. Oh, and I had Deceleration too, which I never actually casted the entire day. Yeah, I looked at this and it's like I had 7 spells and 6 focus. And so, I mean, I didn't even put a. I didn't even.
That's not far off from Mark 1 and 2 spell list because it used to be focus and spell quantity were the same.
Because I didn't even have an arc node in my. I didn't even have an arc node in my list because I wasn't really planning on being a spell slinger. So I drafted Oraculus so I could create arc nodes, which was which was pretty cool. And that was I used that in like in all of my games to cripple stuff or steal it.
I would have thought it would be like Who's the Boss style where you would want to have at least one arc node just in case
if your faction has it. Have it in there. I mean, it's.
I think every faction does now.
No, not Kador.
Well, okay.
I mean, because you don't have. You know, if you had a chance to actually draft Scrapjack as as a companion model,
so you're right. Kador's the only one that does not have independently takeable arc nodes.
No, but I mean, I was able to. Mercs. As I said, I was able to take.
Mercs have arc nodes.
Magnus is the only one.
Renegade.
Yeah, but Magnus is the only one that can take it.
You have to have Magnus.
Well, I know in Who's the Boss you were allowed to take them. Does spell draft not? Does caster draft not let you take renegades?
No.
Okay. What are trolls arc nodes? Did they get like solos or something?
Mold arc nodes either.
Hmm? Mold.
Mold is a
his animus turns him into an arc node.
Oh, yeah. Is it the same as the Blind Walker's ones, or is it a different one?
Maybe the same.
Also, that makes me sad because that means he doesn't have Runebreaker anymore.
No, Runebreaker is awesome. Just nobody used it.
Yeah.
It's just like a one-cost animus become arc node.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the same as the Blind Walker.
Yeah, I believe so.
Mold speed 4.
Yeah, yes.
So trample and do it, he only loses an inch versus a running arc node. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Jake's Mold looks pretty fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. Saw it on Wednesday. It's painted up by Richard Johnson down in Southern Illinois-ish. I think St. Louis. I think he's from St. Louis. I'm not sure. It's Chris Johnson's from Mechanica Studios brother.
Gotcha.
But he painted up my converted Molg, and holy fuck.
Yeah,
looks goddamn amazing.
I need to find somebody to paint minis for me because I just don't have time, and I like playing with painted minis.
Just get Don to do it when he's not having more kids again. So I assume that his kids popped out. That's why we haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, that's why he disappeared.
Okay, that's what I figured.
Whatever. The nanny will take care of it. Come play games. Just bring the kids. Stick it in a corner. They can't walk yet, so...
Maybe it works with Keith.
Yeah.
Fucking Aurora. They have made a little nudist out of that girl. Or maybe that's just how she is, but she just always runs around their house. Like, they can't get her to keep her pants on.
Yeah.
So they came visit me at work, and we turn around, and she's just running around with her butt hanging out. I'm like, Aurora, put your freaking pants back on, girl. You're in public.
Keith's not going to have hair soon. when she gets older, and if she's doing that all the time, Keith's going to have no hair.
Okay.
He's going to pull it all out, or it's going to go all gray and fall out.
The event was fun.
Good. Yeah, it's a cool format. I was really sad that I had to work. I would have come otherwise, but, you know.
I could not make it because I was out. I was out and about. So, meh. And, Yep.
Raven's Guard in chat thinks that mercs can take whatever the heck they want, including renegades, Rolic Jacks, and monstrosities.
Yeah. I mean, I know we had said that minions casters could take pigs or gator beasts,
but not and they had to kind of.
No,
pick.
They could take and.
Oh, they could take and.
Yeah,
and I see no reason mercs wouldn't be able to take everything.
I may be wrong. Flocks,
I mean, I would fill my list full of monstrosities then, because
renegades.
Yeah, renegades and monstrosities. Well, actually, all the that's only Exelon that has spell driver. Never mind.
What?
Exelon has got the spell driver that allows them to use those monstrosities that are as arc nodes.
Right.
But monstrosities under a different caster, something that can give them armor, something that can give them extra speed. Ooh.
Well, that was also one
monstrosities of basically running under Shay's feet. Oh, my God. Wreckers.
That was one of the things I had to deal with was somebody playing Legion. The guy with a nine fury and Lola also was playing Legion and had Carnivians with Batten Down the Hatches and Spiny Growth up.
Yeah,
which I mean that was since I was playing Rhett and I had my 3 Harpies because that's how you play Rhett in the modern era. I just walked up and said, "No, you go away."
So I can tell you from watching it happen in Who's the Boss is that trolls with Batten are not okay.
Trolls with Striker are not okay.
Well, it was Carver that I saw on Trolls.
Sure.
And so he was doing Batten, and they're doing the Stone, and he was doing Mobility. And it was pretty gross.
Well, I remember Chad was freaking out when we I gave him Stryker with his trolls. So I had the stone going and Stryker's feet and Arcane Shield. They're like armor 27 trolls.
Right.
Yeah. That was stupid. Yeah, looking at the spell list, I think the best you can do in caster draft is you can stack Batten Down the Hatches, Roots of Earth, and Arcane Shield for hilarity. So you can get like an arm 29 Woldrath.
It's official. Who's the boss's dad?
No.
That's not official.
No, it's not even remotely close. I'm liking the direction the caster draft is going in because, or not the cat, yeah, I guess it is caster draft. Spell draft, I always thought sucked. I thought spell draft was too competitive.
Well, spell draft is also even. I mean, it seems strange to see it when you look at caster draft and you get to draft all the abilities you want on your caster. But spell draft always seemed to me like, okay, what is your wombo combo? What is your feat combined with the single spell that most wants to do it? Like, I had the severe urge to play Thagrosh 2, 23 shredders, and just draft synergy and see what happens. Back in Mark II.
Before it capped.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like Andy was saying, it's who has the most efficient caster. Because caster draft at the end, or I'm sorry, spell draft at the end became everybody brings Denny 3.
Yeah.
Because all you need to do is get a 3 or less cost nuke, and you blow up the world.
Yeah.
Or even a Veil 2.
Veil 2?
Yeah, Veil 2 and just get all of the nukes. Yeah.
The Coven with Soul, not Soul Steel, what's the one that... Fiona the Black Lash has. It's a 2 cost you kill, you get a soul.
Yes.
And you get a focus. So it's like the focused generation one that Magnus has, but not.
Yeah.
Damn it. What is the name of it?
It's Siphon or something like that.
Maybe. But the point is, it costs 2. If you kill a model, you get 1 back. And the Coven is -1 cost to spells.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it became a free spell.
Yeah.
And so they would just literally kill all of your infantry.
Mm-hmm.
And then just for free.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like the changes. I don't know if Rick implemented those changes, but I bet in a larger version of caster draft, and this is what I wanted them to do with spell draft, is make it so if you lost a game in spell draft, you got to choose one of the properties or one of the spells off of the winner.
Yeah.
You traded. You gave them one of yours. And
gave them one of yours, and you took one of theirs. And then... You try to make it less competitive and more of just, hey, we're throwing down funny shit.
Yeah. Ravensguard says caster draft feels very armor skew. There's a few armor buff spells, not a lot of damage fixing. Yeah, that's exactly what I noticed when I was overanalyzing it, is that there are six in a full set, which is intended to be drafted in a pod of 4 people. I think there are 6 or 7 armor buffs and then 6 or 7 armor debuffs. Synergy is the only actual buff to damage output, and there's also Shay's feat. Godspeed is like the only threat extension other than Gallows. There's Gallows and Shay's feat are the only threat extension. There's no mobility. I mean, there's no battle lust. There's no fury. There are no damage buffs other than synergy. And there's no scything touch either. So every armor swing is either a buff to your own armor or a debuff to your target. So I mean, if you're listening to this and you want the hot tech for caster draft, run Blessed and Spell Ward on your stuff, because the typical caster is going to have at least 1 really good debuff and 1 really good buff.
So my Doom Reaver list would be bad because it would just get shot off the table because I'm not taking Old Witch 2 with them.
Soulfire, by the way.
Soulfire? Oh, that just gives a soul for it, right?
No, or, Soulfire gives you a focus back.
Oh, it does?
It's just the spell's called Soulfire.
So, I mean, if I were going back and overanalyzing it again, I think I would probably like run Protectorate and Exemplar Interdiction and drop a Colossal on the table so I could buff it. Buff it, put with the choir, make it immune to debuffs, and then get Blessed on it anyway.
Sure.
But don't do that, because it's a casual format.
So how many teams do we have signed up for the WITC?
It's a good question.
Who's I was just about it? To look it up, and I am running it.
I thought
you are free to help if you want to help. You are also free to get a team and play it if you want to play in it. Your options are open.
My options
is Travis playing?
Probably
Travis is playing, yes. Okay.
My options will probably be to see if I can gather two other mercenaries that could help us run the event and fill in for a team if we have a bye.
I agree, except the use of and should be or.
Or. Yes.
You don't get to run it and fill in.
Why not?
We win! We're the best!
Yeah. I'm just one of the judges is playing for the little teams. Yeah. Yeah, clearly that model 20 inches away is in range.
You've got our team signed up, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Team Trophy Husband, going for it?
I'm going to check and see if the team list has been updated yet or not. Otherwise, I have to go into PayPal and see how many people have paid us, and it'll take longer. But not longer than doing this is taking, so, you know.
Yeah, so we can pay for this.
Pretty sure we have signed up, but I'm pretty sure we haven't paid. Because this was Jake. This is Jake we're talking about.
Whatever. We have a half dozen or so teams signed up so far.
Cool.
There's still time to keep signing up, though, obviously.
Four
more weeks. You got about a month to sign up.
Is it June 28th?
Wait. Yes, it's June 28th. So,
what?
No, it's July 28th.
July 28th.
Yeah, I know. It's July 28th.
Fuck me! Don't do that!
It's July 28th. Reminder again that the price has been dropped. It's only $75 for the whole team. So that's only $25 bucks a person. That's pretty inexpensive. We got to get costs down. So please come on. And again, no painting requirements either. There's really... And
there's a lot of threads going around about those now.
Yeah, and those threads can fuck themselves. Yeah. But yeah, so no painting requirement. It's only $25 per person. It's a lot of fun. If you are someone who is not a teetotaler, you will enjoy the location.
Not a what?
Teetotaler.
The hell is that?
Teetotaler is somebody who does not drink alcohol.
Yep.
Oh.
So if you are somebody who is okay with drinking alcohol, you will enjoy the location because it is very friendly for people who drink alcohol.
At least until some of our Wisconsinite teams drink all of it.
Where's that definition come from? What is that from?
It's an old-timey word.
It's an old-timey word.
I mean, it's like Prohibition era, at least, if not older.
I think of old-timey, I think of much earlier than Prohibition era. That's only 100 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least I associate it. I associate it with that era. Hmm. I'm sure it's older than that because I mean, English has been around for a lot longer. Obviously. But
I've never heard of that word before until today.
It's from 1833. One act attributes the origin of the word to a meeting of the Preston Temperance Society. It said that as early as 1827, in some temperance societies, signing a T after one's name signified one's pledge for total abstinence. So may or may not be true, but the point is, it's a 200-year-old
term. So that's a straight edge.
Yeah, basically, it's 19th-century straight edgers. But yeah, you should also come and hurry up because our Wisconsin people drink. We drank two or three different types of liquor out of the bar last time.
John drank three types of liquor out of the bar last time, and that was vodka.
No, you were pushing blind Russians on everybody.
I was pushing blind Russians on everybody, but
proselytizing the heck out of
there was only one person that I know that actually left the event early to go sleep in their car because they were so drunk. There's only one person. He wasn't playing, but... Oh, he was adorable. It was probably my favorite moments of the day when we found out that he drank him out. God, blind Russians are so good. By the way, if you don't know what a blind Russian is same as a normal white Russian, but instead of putting in the half and half or whatever milk or whatever you want to put in there, the dairy products, you put in Baileys. So it's vodka, Kahlua, and Baileys. Alcohol mixed with alcohol equals good times.
Yeah, so it's very similar to a mudslide as well.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's a blind Russian. I don't know why they call it a blind Russian. That's just what I was taught.
That's it's a mudslide if you replace the vodka with cream de cocoa.
Oh.
Which
is really good.
Because a white Russian is equal parts Kahlua, vodka, and cream, right? And then your blind Russian, you replace the cream with Baileys, right? Because a mudslide is equal parts Kahlua, vodka, and Baileys. Mudslide, one part Kahlua, one part vodka, one part Irish cream.
Okay. I'm used to that drink as being equal parts Kahlua, cream de cocoa, and Irish cream. Although I've also heard that called a rattlesnake.
Yeah, because I really think, because I looked into this previously, and I feel like
Mudslide is basically the same as a blind Russian, except that bartenders have heard of it.
A mudslide, that
yeah.
is?
Yeah.
They've never heard of a blind
Correct.
Russian.
Correct. I'm gonna do another. This is Kahlua's actual website here.
I like being that unique.
To my age, Jesus
I like
Christ.
Being that brown snowflake. Brown as in because of Kahlua. That's what I'm saying. I wasn't trying to infer anything else.
I'm the only brown snowflake here.
Wait, what? Oh, yeah, because you're brown. David Brown. Yeah, okay. Now I get it.
Kahlua's website has a mudslide as being one part Kahlua, one part vodka, and 1.5 parts Irish cream. But yeah, so basically a mudslide is the same thing.
Yeah.
Except that you don't have to explain it.
I'd appreciate you wouldn't mention that in the bartender's presence when I'm ordering.
Okay, I won't.
Because I want to be that unique guy.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to make it easier on the bartenders. Actually, it's not that difficult either, because I just have to tell them. It's like you make a white Russian, but instead of putting in cream, you put in Bailey's.
Okay. Done. Yeah, it is a rattlesnake. Sorry, not a mudslide, but they're similar. The rattlesnake is Kahlua, cream de coco, and Irish cream.
So we do have a request. When are we going to have our drunk cast?
Yeah, mudslide. Yeah, okay. Drunk what?
When are we going to have our drunk cast?
Okay, I need to update the minions and... what's that other faction called? Convergence faction things.
From the faction talks?
Yeah. I need to do another 12-hour solo discuss an entire faction while drinking Miller High Life thing.
Well, I mean...
So what faction am I in on for that? Because I play like 6 of them.
Well,
I called dibs on Convergence and Minions and Scoia'tael. Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll take Trolls because like the only of the core factions I don't own.
If you want to do your drunken Gwent past cast, Gwent past, you could do it.
Drunken Gwent past.
Yeah. No.
I'll just get Nathan drunk enough that he won't realize that we turned the broadcasting off.
How dare you, sir?
No, we wouldn't do that. I mean, that's comedy gold. I mean, I'm upset that Nathan never saved the drunken runs in Fallout 4. To try to go get...
to YouTube? That's because I don't understand Twitch, and I didn't know they deleted things.
Yeah.
So that's all gone.
They don't even save it if you don't actually click it to save it on Twitch.
I think I saved... I know I saved one of my drunken things. I don't think I saved that one, but I saved the first time. The one when I delivered the egg to the Deathclaw and then punched it in the face. And then giggled for like 45 seconds.
I wish I had it recorded when... were you there for that when my first experience with power armor and death claws? Where it's the very beginning of Fallout 4 when you finally you get into your power armor and then you fight a death claw with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fought with the death claw and I jumped out of the death claw out of the power armor and proceeded to run for my life. Mm-hmm. And I ended up killing it outside of my power armor.
We need to do drunk games like that. We should do multiplayer Dark Souls, one variant of it, or Bloodborne.
Yeah, maybe. Multiplayer, that would be fun.
Yeah.
We all have PS4s. All three of us could be streaming, too. I mean, we could all stream on our own channels and then have people be able to click through.
There's all these Nathan Hoffmans, and none of them are me.
What?
I searched for myself on YouTube to try to find my own videos.
Oh, they wouldn't. You'd have to have a YouTube account to export it.
I did.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, what is that weird? Because I mean, I mean, if I search for myself on the internet, it takes me a while to find me because there's so many David Browns. I actually got drunk one night and went on Facebook and just looked up David Brown and friended every David Brown I could find. Some of them are crazy.
I saw an art thing where a guy searched for everybody with the same name as him on Facebook, and then he contacted them. He learned as much as he could about them, and then he lived as them for like a year.
Okay.
Like, you know, he dressed the same, he did his hair the same, he tried to pick up the same habits and hobbies and everything.
Okay.
It was artsy fartsy. But it was a thing.
I just friended a bunch of people with my same name on Facebook.
That's less dedicated to the craft.
Yeah. Periodically they like my posts, so it's just weird.
Hey, wait. If I'm in my own account, I can probably just go to my channel by clicking on settings instead of just searching for myself while I'm logged in as myself. Hey, look, that worked way better. Yeah, here we go. There's me playing Fallout while drunk. It's an 18-video playlist because it was like 2 hours and it only updates in 15-minute intervals. And math tells me that means it was 3 hours. I didn't do the math at first. Mm-hmm. I know what that is. Okay. All right. I'm done looking at my own YouTube account now. Do we have any other announcements? Any other things to discuss? Andy left us.
Yes. Andy's gone.
Andy went and saw Upgrade without me.
You were working.
I'm always working. When did you see it?
This morning.
I worked at 12:30. Did you see it before then?
Saw it at 10. 5.
Yeah.
I'm looking at. I'm going to be pushing a big UI update to Conflict Chamber soon.
I got another. That's an announcement. To add to the pile.
I didn't get.
What was it this month?
Van Helsing or
the Ultimate Van Helsing. I got that. I didn't get the sexy Zoolander. Because I didn't do the 6-month subscription, so I need to get around to doing that so I can get the sexy Zoolander.
Oh, no, 6-month subscription is not the sexy Zoolander.
Oh, yeah, 6-month subscription is Walls, right?
Yep.
Maybe I did get sexy Walls. Zoolander, though. I'll have to check. I have those, like, in random spots around my house. Everything's in random spots around my house.
Yeah, there she is, Totem Hunters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe I must have one of those then.
You know what I should really do? I should really check these things for issues.
Right
after I get them.
Too late, they broke
bubbles.
The molds.
Yep. So,
like my freaking Star Spawn in my copy of Mansions of Madness, missing an arm.
Oh, yeah.
Are those like pre-assembled?
Yeah.
Oh.
Pre-assembled, and one of them's just missing an arm.
Oh, that sucks. Somebody was probably fell behind on the assembly line, like, fuck it.
Yeah. And so I posted a picture on Facebook, and I made a joke about killing Dr. Richard Kimball's wife, and it took, like, hours before anybody got the reference.
Oh, did you try to turn it in for a payment for your bill?
No, it did not take hours, because I saw you post that and noticed it and got the joke. I just don't – I just do not interact with Facebook.
I need validation, David.
Yeah, but did you also maybe send it in?
Like?
I sent it into Fantasy Flight Games.
For payment for a certain thing?
What?
No,
for payment.
Yeah, don't. it's a David. What's his name?
David after dentist.
No, it's 24B/ something.
Oh, David. Yeah. The seven-legged spider.
Seven-legged spider.
Yes,
it's probably one of my favorite ones.
The seven-legged spider is great. I also love Missing Missy.
Correct.
Missing Missy is a.
Yeah.
Have you know what we're talking about, David?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
So to explain to the audience, the seven-legged spider one is he has a bill collector contacting him.
Back
over
up
email.
A notch. In general, this guy is someone who trolls people on the internet.
Correct. Yeah.
Now proceed.
But a bill collector sent a bill to him asking him for money for a past due bill. And he's like, oh, I have no money, but here's a picture of a spider I drew instead. And then she's like, send the spider back. She's like, we can't accept this as a payment. He's like, are you sure that's my spider? Because that's got seven legs, and I don't make mistakes like that.
Can you and then when she says they can't take it as payment, he's like, fine, can I have it back then? Like, you want me to send the picture back? She's like, yes. And so then she sends him an email with the same picture attached to it so that it had officially been sent back.
So good. You should take a gander at that site. His wars with his coworkers are probably some of the best.
Yeah.
The HR reports that are written up in there. Like, David moved my desk into the kitchen.
When he did his book tour for his book, did you see that one? And so, like, there was a bookstore, and he put up signs that he was going to be doing a book signing at that Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
And they're like, we haven't got anything from corporate. He's like, oh, I didn't contact your corporate. I just was going to do a book signing. And then they, like, yelled at him that he can't do that. And it's like, all right. And so he put up signs that said that he was going to be wandering the aisles unofficially. And
if you spot him, you can have your book signed by him.
Yes. They were very angry.
Yeah. You should, I should post that in the credits.
27B/6.
Yep.
Slash is spelled out. It's SLASH.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm also in the process of redoing the Crippled System website. I'm going to be incorporating pictures of everybody and incorporating...
Everybody?
Everybody.
Mm-hmm. There's like, 7 billion people now?
What, that were on the podcast?
No, you didn't say that was on the podcast. Yeah. You just said everybody.
Just pictures of everybody.
Actually, that's not even limiting it to living people. You said everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, this will be a great way to find out if life exists on other planets.
Mm-hmm.
If they're on there,
mm-hmm.
they exist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll just have a continued link. That'll just be pictures of us, and then a continued link will just go to nowhere. Just forever load. There's too many pictures to put up on a website.
I, I saw a cute. There's you know the copy paste things that people throw on the Facebook, and one that makes me chuckle when I see it every once in a while is people talk like an anecdote about somebody who's really stupid on the internet, and then they were like too dumb to catch on and something, and one of the dumbest things they did is they kept clicking more, and literally it's the word more. Mm-hmm. And you think that it's the post. If you click it, it'll expand, but it isn't. That's the end of the post, and you're the idiot. And it's a cute one. It's like the old how do you keep an idiot occupied turnover for the answer.
I tried that. It was like an hour before I figured it out.
Right? They never showed the answer.
I got it.
You got the answer?
Mm-hmm. These are not as good, colder.
I brought them to you fresh and warm. I don't know why you didn't eat them right away.
Because I had Popeyes when I got out of the movie from Upgrade.
Okay. Well, I'll take them back and I'll microwave them when I get home.
No. I mean, proper Go biscuits box. Must be consumed warm.
That's a very horrifying sentence to a Brit.
Well, I'm a Southerner, not
actually,
a Brit.
Actually, no, so. You'd still want them warm out of the oven, I guess. But those are cookies, not biscuits. They actually do use cookie as a term for some things. I don't know. They're dumb. But Jaffa cakes are not a cake. They're a biscuit.
Kofifi cake?
Kofifi. No, Jaffa. Jaffa the Hut. Jaffa the cake.
Have you seen Soul yet? Are we going to make it our pain train? Because I haven't seen it yet.
I wanted to see Upgrade, and then somebody went without me.
Well, you know, if there's any bad. Other time to go see it.
You saw it. Have you seen it yet?
No.
Okay.
Why is the recruitment thing after you go through the boarding gates? Like, you have to buy a ticket for a plane, and then after you go through the gate to get to your plane, that's where the recruitment offices are?
I don't know.
So they only want to recruit people who already have a destination in mind and try to convince them to go elsewhere? Why not recruit people that don't yet have tickets?
I don't know. I mean, there were bad things in the movie, like the war scene was bad. But I think that was just because the directors changed like a third of the way through the production, and I think they had already shot that at that point and jammed it into a rewritten narrative.
Also, and it's Pride Month, so I'm going to bring this up, you either show Lando Calrissian fucking a dude, or you don't get to claim he's pansexual.
Do you want the scene where he fucked the robot?
They hinted at it. They don't show a scene where he fucks the robot.
No.
But she's like, you got to do that thing later and blah, blah, blah. But that could be maintenance. I do a thing to my car. Well, I also fuck it. But the point
is... Is that why the radio dash is off?
Like, fucking... Yeah. Like a Dumbledore. What goddamn bullshit.
Well, that's only in the books. Isn't it? Is well, it or is it like in the
It's not even
universe?
In the books. So it's not like in the books. It's not in the movies. After the last movie came out, then J.K. Rowling's like, oh, by the way, Dumbledore's gay. It's like, oh, that would have been nice to have in the books, but okay, fine, he's gay now, sure. Then the new movies come out that have Dumbledore and the man who's supposed to be his true love that fucked with everything, and they have zero homosexuality at all.
Well, maybe that's coming later. Maybe there's a spell that's cast.
I'm just saying, oh, Fantastic Beasts 2
no, I mean, at least
needs a love scene between Dumbledore and Grindelwald, or else, Jesus Christ, people. You don't get to claim it to try to get kudos for having LGBT people in your movies and stuff, and then not actually do it.
Just do it.
No, but they made it clear there was robot fucking going on. Huh? They made it clear in the movie there was robot fucking going on. They didn't have to show it.
Sure, but I mean, for like Harry Potter, honestly, I mean, I guess maybe the years when it was coming out that it wasn't
sure
as widely accepted as it is now.
But right now. There is a movie coming out that is set exactly when this is supposed to have happened that has Dumbledore and Grindelwald in it, doing nothing with
Maybe they just kiss once. They'll just kiss once.
They will do nothing. The filmmakers have already said that it is not in the film.
Yeah.
They completely ignore that entire thing.
That's fine. Authors sometimes should be ignored for their contents or their ideas for a show.
Sure.
Because sometimes they're like...
Sometimes you get a George Lucas who needs to be taken away.
Or you get a George R. R. Martin who won't write his shit.
Uh-huh. Well, then you don't have to ignore him because he's already put himself on ignore.
And what's his name? There's somebody else. Isn't it the Dresden Files books? Isn't that finally coming out?
Kind of. There's a collection of short stories coming out. Guess what nobody gives a shit about?
A collection of short stories about Dresden?
I mean, we give a shit, but for the love of God, give us the next novel, you dick. Or fucking Rothfuss with The Name of the Wind, The Kingkiller Chronicles.
Oh, so he's dragging his feet on that too?
Yeah, and he did the whole Martin thing where like a month ago he's like, yeah, it was 99% done and you've been waiting for a decade, but I'm starting over because I'm not happy with it.
Wait, he's starting over at the entire series?
No, just that book. Just book three.
Oh,
just, you know.
He never started it. He's Axl Rosing this shit.
Or
he is fully Axl Rosing that shit. I wrote Chinese Democracy. We're almost done. We're ready to go. I'm like, no, 20 fucking years later, we're going to get Chinese Democracy.
It's the old phrase that perfection is the enemy of the great, right? Like, artists never release their stuff that is great because they feel the need to get to that perfect, and that perfect is unattainable.
Except for when we got Chinese Democracy, it was a pile of shit.
Sure, because it was probably good a quarter century ago.
No.
Well, you don't know. We don't know.
No. I mean, like, even with listening to my ears of... I could put my ears to older...
I don't mean that the version that came out now would have been good a quarter century ago. I mean the version that existed a quarter century ago
was probably good.
And then you fucked with it until what came out.
Correct. Yeah, there's, like, only two songs on that thing that are even halfway listenable, and the rest of them are just... Ugh.
It's no Spaghetti Incident.
That also was not very good.
It was not
either.
Good at all.
And that, yeah. You know what you want to hear out of your really, really popular band at the time? A whole bunch of covers.
Yeah.
Badly done covers as well. Mix up your covers in your album. Like, Use Your Illusions. You know?
Yeah. Appetite of discretion.
Discussion. Appetite for discussion.
Appetite of discretion.
Somebody posted a Clark and Daw video,
and the front fell off.
It was the front fell off, and it is the best one that they've ever done for their comedy. But
I actually prefer the Quantitative Easing, but they're both very good. That is a near tie, but I love the Quantitative Easing one as well. The part where he calls the other person like, no, I figured it out right away. Are you in the banking industry? Like, just right out the window. Whole banks of them, loads of printers. Go on.
But it's annoying to me, and I know the creators, because I listen to watch a lot of YouTube creators in that, and it bothers me. And it bothers them to the nth degree when they have people that just steal their video and then add their own tagline onto it, and then they upload it themselves, and then they're the ones who get all the hits on those videos.
Yeah.
And that video it's actually Steve Groom who posted it, was one of those styles of videos. So I'm like, I felt like a responsibility to say, this is who this is. This is their YouTube channel. Go watch their YouTube channel because, I mean...
Give them the hits.
Unfortunately... Clark is passed on like a year ago, but the rest of their channel's still going, so you should go watch it because all of them are goddamn funny. I posted also the oil crisis in the Gulf of Mexico as well, and that one is amazing too. We dropped a shopping mall on it. It's like, what did that do? Absolutely nothing. We learned a lot from it. What did you learn? We can't put a shopping mall on it.
That's again that dry humor.
And they've been doing that for 20 years, and it just like I remember seeing that like way in the early days of the internet, the full front fell off, because that's back before YouTube, everything. But then when I caught up on them like about 5 years ago, I'm like, oh, this is they're still doing this and they haven't stopped. It's like every Thursday they have put out this 2-minute sketch of amazingness. Oh, I learned a lot about the Australian government then too, because they do not like them.
So
isn't that kind of necessary in Australia that you like are required to not like the government even if you voted for them?
I mean, it doesn't hurt that the Australian government is repugnant.
Yeah.
Correct.
Probably the second worst government on the planet right now. So at least they know where they put the kids. They just put them on a rape island.
Yeah.
One government's losing thousands of children. The other government has children attempting suicide on a rape island. Tomato, tomato. Anyway, so chat's asking, aren't there lots of movies with heterosexuals where they don't emphasize their sexuality? A, no, because the love interests are always a man and a woman are the love interests by default. The only time you get a movie where there's a homosexual love interest is when you have some artsy-fartsy independent film that's specifically a gay movie. You don't just randomly have Indiana Jones, except in the Indiana Jones movie, the love interest is a dude.
Rock and Rolla.
Very rarely, okay? But, like, very rarely. Rock and Rolla
has a...
If you look at all of the Hollywood films, sure, sure. All of the Indiana Joneses, all of the Pitch Blacks, all of the Mission Impossibles, all the standard films, what is it now, 7%? Whatever percent of the time, the lead should just... like the same gender.
Or if it's a lead, then it's usually some side character.
Yes. Or you'll rarely one of those get also two will like die. Atomic Blonde that has a bisexual lead.
Sure.
You know, yeah. But that's okay because she's a woman and women can be bi because it's hot because we can jerk off over the lesbian scenes. I mean, that's fucking how it is. Like, imagine, like if it was a James Bond film where he was bisexual and had a love scene with a man and a woman, that doesn't happen. But it's okay with the women. But the point is...
It was Idris Elba. Oh, my God.
So...
Sorry.
The LGBT plus community doesn't get it. Not that they don't understand. It is not given to them on a regular basis. This is not something that they are courted to. They are not provided with these things to identify with. So it's important to provide them in a real way. Also, and so it's dangerous to just have it be normal to be straight. You know, I understand that it is numerically the more common stance, and I even won't necessarily take umbrage with the use of the term default, although that's a dangerous term, but it isn't normal because that implies abnormal, and so you need to make it acceptable. You need to just have it out there, and even if you didn't need to, don't cheat and claim it on the back end if you're not willing to own it on the front end.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think for Hollywood specifically, the limiting factor for that is whether it's real or imagined, there's the perception that any film that has a lead that is not heterosexual is going to be a niche film.
Yeah.
And you're not going to, nobody's going to expect to sell enough tickets to it to bother A, making a high budget movie, and right. B, spending the marketing budget to have a big movie. So that's...
Yeah, they're not going to make the next franchise, you know, the next Indiana Jones, the next Mission Impossible. They're not going to make one of those and just have the lead be gay.
Yeah.
And just think, nope, yeah, it's just a big-budget action film. I mean, what's the problem, guys? Shrug. You know, like, they're not willing to do that.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine with it, with something like that. Like, a big-budget film that's... It doesn't need to be commercialized, I guess, where they have to shove it down your throat. So just do it. I could care less.
I
said the wrong word. I tilted you almost.
But I was trying to decide whether it's a bad joke with the shove it down your throat part, given the topic of conversation. That was actually what maybe I was like, should I? Nah. But no, I mean, it's the same reason. Like, the fucking Transformers and the Michael Bay movies are all men, right?
Yeah.
Because there's they're no like, RC. Well, I mean, just because obviously they're just by default they're men. Well, what? That doesn't. Why? Why would a robot care about the secondary sexual characteristics and mannerisms it puts up forward? Why would Optimus Prime or Bumblebee or Megatron care whether or not they had tits or a deep voice? Like, they're a robot. They don't care. But they care because Hollywood thinks that only boys like robot movies, and so they make the robots boys to appeal to the boys. Same reason. They think only straight people like action films, so they make the action films star straight people to appeal to the mainstream audience. And it's like, whatever, man. Who cares? It doesn't have to be a big deal. Like, it also doesn't have to be a big deal. You can not have Lando Calrissian fucking dudes. Just don't make him Pan. Like, it's okay. Exactly. Yeah. You can have every single character be straight, and that'll be its own issue. But that's a different issue than going, no, yeah, they're totally gay. I just won't show it to you because I don't think mainstream audiences would like it if I did.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
no. Pick one. Either don't give representation or give representation. Don't fucking pretend that you're giving representation.
Correct. Correct. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean by the commercialization.
Yeah.
You don't have to. I mean, just do it. Fuck it. Who cares?
Do it or don't. Shit or get off the pot.
Well, that was our politically charged section of the podcast. It wasn't really that
it's just, yeah, Hollywood's a bunch of cowards. Everybody's a bunch of cowards. They're all scared of losing their money.
Yeah, I was going to say, it turns out that happens an awful lot when people have millions of dollars. They suddenly become scared of everything.
Of not having their millions of dollars. Yeah. Or having fewer millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Andy, a Jim Sterling fan as well, talk about Jim always puts forth like PUBG right now, PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, mm-hmm. is suing everyone on the planet. If your game has a bipedal human being in it, they are suing you yeah. because they have trademarked bipedal human beings.
Pretty much. Like, yeah,
they are throwing lawsuits everywhere. They're suing games that have frying pans because they think they invented having a frying pan as a weapon, even though they were around for decades before them. They're suing people over having...
Battle Royale.
Battle Royale, which they didn't invent. So they're just suing blindly. And they're suing blindly because they have the second most functionally infinite money of all the Battle Royale games. Not the most functionally infinite money. And it's not allowed to just have ungodly amounts of money. You have to have all of the money. Terminator 2 did not have a love interest, which is fine. No love interest is different than, like...
I'm trying to think. I don't think there was love interest at all. Other than loving in the past, basically she was still loving.
Well, no, Terminator 2 still had heteronormative aspects because Sarah Connor there was the one scene in the movie where she says where she's thinking that it's like this is terrible, so I'm thinking about doing this, and it's like I like the idea of the Terminator as a father figure here. So I mean her line, I mean she expresses in the movie the need for a traditional nuclear family. It's just that things are so fucked up, so it's like, okay, robot.
Even ignoring that, if there is no love interest in there, that's fine. I mean, not every movie needs a love element.
Yeah.
They did not, during the press junction for Terminator 2, say, oh, and by the way, Sarah Connor's a lesbian.
Yeah.
So, hey, lesbians, come watch the movie because one of you's in it. But like, yeah, they didn't cheat it.
But I don't even, I'm just saying, I don't think Terminator 2 is a particularly good example of that, because while it didn't really talk about sexuality, it was still heteronormative because of that element of Sarah was portraying the 50s, Terminator 50s as
style
yeah as a father figure.
But I mean, counterpoint, in a hypothetical universe where a female version of the Terminator came back,
mm-hmm.
isn't it possible that Sarah Connor would have had the exact same thought but appreciated that the Terminator is working as a mother figure? It's just that one happened to be male, so she saw it as, I mean, Is it that she's just seeing it as a parental figure, and this robot happens to be male?
I appreciate your devil's advocacy there, but I don't buy it.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. It makes me think of like Princess Mononoke, mm-hmm. the anime film, where in the American dub or the English dub, San's parent is a mother because Gillian Anderson voices it, mm-hmm. and in the original Japanese dub, San's parent is a father because it has a male actor dubbing it, mm-hmm. and the relationship is identical and the film is identical except for the voice they choose,
mm-hmm.
and it's a parental figure. Mm-hmm. The gender is not important, but
it's drawn in that style too that you can't tell.
It's a wolf. It's literally a giant wolf.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like a Jungle Book style thing where it's a child and so it's just this huge like 20-foot tall wolf god, and it's a female wolf in the Western dub and a male wolf in the Eastern dub, which also might just have to be, we think of the mother wolf. I think as well.
Yeah, I mean, the mother wolf archetype is built in. I mean that's part of the founding of Rome.
Right. Exactly. And so it's the Romulus and Remus thing. But I guess in Japan, for some reason, their version's male. I don't know. It was that it just did not affect the plot. So that's my point. It could be a situation like that, but whatever. The point is, they did not claim that the robot was gay.
He could be programmed that way, though. That one you're
going nature versus nurture. Do gay robots exist, or are they just programmed that way?
All right, we probably should delve into this. I just watched. So James Cameron's he's been doing a series on AMC, which is basically about science fiction. So they've been going through like almost all the tropes of science fiction, going through monsters, going through AI, going through, you know, plots and that. And they were just the last episode I just watched was about AI. That's made me realize I don't think I've actually watched Blade Runner fully with my attention at the film.
You've just had it on while painting kind of
situation. I've either had it on while painting or it's been so long I haven't seen it or since I've last seen it. Just like things like I didn't know, like Rutger Hauer's like final lines in the film. Like I didn't realize that those were all improvised too. And I don't even remember.
Depending on your definition, he wrote them the night before and discussed them with the director. But I mean, sure. I mean,
It was not in the original script.
Correct. I mean, that's what I said. That's a nitpick, and it depends. But yeah.
But I am trying to remember sequences of that movie, and I don't remember. I don't remember any of it.
You should rewatch it. It's a film that is interesting but flawed, but incredibly groundbreaking in a lot of ways. Just for the love of God, if you hear a voiceover, if you hear Harrison Ford doing voiceovers, stop and find a different version of the movie.
I own the director's cut of it, I believe.
Okay. I don't remember which one has the... Because they are intentionally bad voiceovers. Because Harrison Ford, by the time they did the voiceover recording, he hated the director and the movie.
Oh, sure.
More than you have ever hated anything in your life. And so he was trying to sabotage the film by that point. So his voiceovers are horrendously bad.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, sarcastically
bad. Does Harrison Ford like anyone? Because, I mean, doesn't it just seem that every time you hear about him being in a movie, he hates it and hates everybody associated with it?
Yeah, I think he's just a grumpy old man with a shitty work ethic.
Yeah, but I mean, these were movies... made 40 years ago that he hated being
was born a grumpy old man. Like he came out of the womb and said, "Get off my lawn, kids."
And then crashed his plane into it.
Yeah.
Did you see so I was just listening to the Rooster Teeth podcast recently.
Okay.
And they just had a totally different cast. They didn't have the normal cast. They had just the one owner of the company and two other guys. One is the writer of Doctor Strange.
Okay.
And another is a magician.
Sure.
And so they were talking about one of the goofy things with Harrison Ford is when David Blaine was there and they pulled the card out of the orange and then Harrison Ford just looks at him and was like, "Get out of my house." He kind of heard some. You'd almost have to go listen to the Rooster Teeth podcast. They go over that. It's the newest episode that they had. But found out an explanation on why Harrison Ford didn't realize that there was, because they did all the setup for it. Why he didn't realize that there was a playing card in the orange, because he was fucking high as a kite.
Yeah, you could tell.
You watch that again, he is just on a different planet. when he's. But it is an adorable moment, though. Yeah. Like, if I was high as a kite and somebody did that card trick to me and pulled my card I was thinking of out of a fucking orange, I would tell the person to get out of my house.
It's just funny because that's like one of Babby's first magic tricks. Like when you're a little kid, you have the pre-made tricks, the lid, and then you lift it and there's a second lid, and so the ping pong ball isn't there anymore and whatnot. And when you're ready to go one notch higher... That's like one of the first ones you learn is the card inside of an orange. I remember that in a book I got when I was like 10. So see David Blaine do it, I'm like, aw.
And Harrison fall for it. Like,
yes.
I mean, like, I guess during the setup, he was watching them do it.
Yeah, but he's fucking loaded, man.
Yeah. That was actually a really good episode of the Rooster Teeth podcast, which was... It's my recommendation.
Which is interesting because most of their episodes suck.
No, they're all good.
They're terrible.
They're all good. They're all good.
They're the worst. They're all good. David agrees.
No.
I think I've seen half of one.
And it was terrible.
No, she watched
David,
them.
Say that everything Rooster Teeth is bad. Oh, Andy really likes them. It'll hurt his feelings.
It will. I will find a new cast.
I mean, I'm going to be... I'm going to satisfy neither of you because I remember watching half of it and it wasn't interesting enough on a good way or a bad way for it to really stick in my memory. So,
mediocrity counts.
Yeah, you two can argue that one. I don't have an opinion.
I already won.
You're on my side.
I won.
I won that. He completely. Said it was forgettable.
Nope, and that's fine because that's what it is.
I guess we are too. If
forgettable is the point, then yeah, go for it.
I mean, they're probably.
Shit, what did we talk about? Speaking of forgettable, what's our number this podcast?
Oh, yeah, we never even mentioned it. It was 238. Yeah. Episode 238.
Okay.
The Cripples
Isn't Podcast. Did you see my brother's infantry division number? number or whatever. He tagged me in it, but
I did not. I saw it was his birthday. I think I wished him a happy birthday.
This was a couple days ago, but I don't remember how large of a, whether it be, you know, platoon or division or brigade or whatever, but he was trying to think of a way to remember a mnemonic device, and it's number 2357.
Okay.
Yeah, which is the first four odd, prime
numbers. It's all single-digit prime numbers also, in order. Yeah. I mean, it's the first four prime numbers. It's all the single, it's 2357.
I went to somebody's birthday on February 3rd of 1957.
Nice.
That's how I
would remember. That would also be all prime numbers. I would go with FMOS 3. That's a deep cut. That's a super obscure reference.
I don't know MOS.
It's FMOS 3.
FMOS?
FMOS 3. FMOS 3.
Oh, I don't know.
There's a episode of Daria. So already, this is how fucking deep cut I'm going.
Wow.
They go on a class trip, and they park the school bus in the F lot, MOS section, level 3. And they're like, how are we going to remember this? And the quarterback is like, I got a great way to remember it, teacher. FMOS 3. And the joke is that that's the worst possible way to remember it. And I remember it 20 goddamn years later. Yeah. And I will remember FMOS 3 until the day I die.
That'll be your last words.
Yes. And then people be like Rosebud. It's FMOS 3.
If we ever do a retrospective video, we'll have you like all in old school, old makeup, holding your drink in your hand as you slowly die and drop it to the ground.
Google knows it. Google auto-completed to FMOS 3.
Oh, no.
Good job, Google. It's a hashtag on Twitter. See tweets about FMOS 3 on Twitter. I'm not alone.
It's probably three other people. They're not Nathan Hoffman's either. You should look up Nathan Hoffman FMOS 3.
Somebody has it as their Instagram handle, FMOS 3.
There are at least three other David Browns that play War Machine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's I mean, not to knock you, but Brown is kind of a simple name, and David
Brown is the second or third most common surname in the United States, and David is the second most common first name for men over 30.
Yeah.
So it turns out there are a lot of us. No, I mean, there's I am aware of a huge collection of David Browns. Actually, that I've said before that my dream car is an Aston Martin DB9 because literally in that the DB9 stands for David Brown. What? I can't have a car that literally has my name on it.
No, I you drive it by, I'll...
I need to get a FMOS 3 license plate.
You could. I mean, go put it in. Maybe one of our Wisconsin listeners will steal it from you.
Bastards.
I'll hold off putting off the podcast until tomorrow.
Okay. I got 24 hours to get my FMOS 3 license plate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's one of those shows that I don't think MTV really has anywhere streaming, Daria. Yeah,
I'm not sure. I thought it was on Hulu once upon a time.
Remember, liquidtelevision.com is supposed to have all the stuff from Liquid Television. I just haven't gone to that channel.
Has all the original, Jesus Christ, I can't remember anything today.
From Liquid Television?
Yeah.
You got the head.
Aeon Flux was what I was looking for. The original little, like, 5-minute long Aeon Flux shorts where nobody talked and she always died.
Yeah.
The head was good.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the head.
The head was all right, yeah.
The head was great, as was the max. Off. Not, no.
Beavis and Butthead start off on Liquid Television.
Oh, yeah, not on the head.
No, not on the head, no. I think it was the same artist, potentially.
MTV.com says you can watch full episodes of Daria.
Hmm, interesting. We're learning something new every day.
They got a little key on it. I bet I have to prove my cable provider or some bullshit.
Yeah.
Find your TV provider and sign in with Eat My Balls. Fuck you. Let's see, here's Hulu.
No, I actually had one time I was at the shop and Keith came in and he said, "Yeah, I was going to come in here and I was going to yell at you for something you said on one of the Facebook groups," and then I realized it was a different David Brown.
Well, he should yell at you anyway.
Yeah.
In general, you should be yelled at.
Yeah.
Yeah. I deserve it.
Yeah. It's not on Hulu anymore. It was, I remember, cuz I got all excited, and then I watched all of MXC instead.
MXC is Most Extreme Challenge. Very good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched that in a long time.
Right, you are, Ken. You remember most extreme elimination challenge, David?
Yes, I have seen
it. Yeah, see, it doesn't have to go on the whiteboard.
wait, the whiteboard.
Yeah,
that one.
Yeah,
he'll edit it in later.
I can't edit that in.
You can do it.
If we were on a green screen, we should. I should.
Yeah, we should.
Just take
we
all
need
the
a green
white
screen.
Away.
Yeah,
you could do green screen with any.
Yeah,
color.
So it would be just like my beard floating in midair. Actually, half my beard.
Yeah, that would be taken away. So whatever you green screened in would just be there instead.
Slowly receding hairline slicked back would be just showing. That'd be it.
Good times.
All right, so we should probably jump over to recommend. Oh, Zippity Grumbles.
Somebody, do we have Zippity Grumbles?
We have some Zippity Grumbles.
We did.
I had my phone. I don't know where my phone went.
I have my phone.
Somebody messaged us. Fuck, I thought I had it with me. Did I?
I don't know. It's your phone. I didn't see
it's
it.
Probably down my desk. Down,
oh, geez, bed. Okay. It's down your pants.
Ooh.
You know, probably down my, and I'm like, uh-oh. That's a true story. I'm going on to our Facebook Now activity.
I don't think there are
messages.
But there is a message in there.
Yeah, there so, is. Yeah. Zupatoy Gribgrop. A handful of theme lists have character restrictions on the merc choices. The popular theory is that these are there to prevent broken wombo combos. What do you think each of these wombo combos are?
Okay, I don't know what the wombo combos are, but I think the completely arbitrary mercenary restrictions on theme forces fucking sucks. And I say that from spending a lot of time playing Kador and being pissed off that one of the themes I wanted to play has no access to magic weapons because you can't take Ayana and Holt in Legion of Steel because I don't fucking know why.
Right. So the question is it really... Oh my god, is it really, what's the word you used? Arbitrary. Is it really arbitrary, or do you think they put some thought into which ones aren't allowed? Because this Luke Fahey is saying that he thinks that it's intentional choices to prevent broken combos.
I think, given that when it came out, I think this is indicative of a shift in general design concept of theme forces, because the ones it shows up in, I mean the two I can think of off the top of my head are Legion of Steel and Heavy Metal, which were some of the original theme forces. And Heavy Metal was when the theme forces got together, Heavy Metal was like the scariest thing. And so it had a limitation on, and everybody just said, kind of said, oh, because Heavy Metal is so good because you play it with Haley 2 or Nemo 3. So, yes, it has some limits for it. That said, I am not sure why Legion of Steel has that, but I just think it's something that doesn't really have a place, place in general theme design anymore.
Hmm. I mean, is it something that we can take a look at and see if it's where the Mercs inclusions were in future in you know the later releases of the theme forces, or is it just during the
I don't
the
think
initial
any
startups?
Yeah, I
just
don't
wish
think
I had
any
a handy
of the themes.
List here of what theme forces banned what Mercs so that we could determine how those Mercs would be broken in those theme forces, but I have no such handy list.
Yeah, I don't off the top of my head.
We can claim that we can look into it and discuss it next week and then forget to.
Yeah,
that's pretty much how...
Okay, that's my plan.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm going to look into this.
Okay, we can discuss it next week.
Yep. Oh, sorry, David. Mike. You wanted in with this too? There we go.
Those were two turkeys arguing.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much the internet.
Yeah.
But I think it is conspicuous that it was only some of the early themes that have that, and the later themes that have come out since then have all lacked any sort of restrictions like that. So I mean, I think this is just, I mean, one of the things that I think needs to be done for War Machine balance in general is just looking at some of the older themes that have the old bad theme bonuses, because the new ones come out with things like all of your heavy warjacks get Carapace, or all of your heavy warjacks get a Hand of Vengeance, and really awesome benefits like that.
Correct.
And then you have your mechanics reposition, and you start with your upkeep spells in play. Although in retrospect, I wish I had the you start with your upkeep spells and play at the caster draft, because that would have been awesome when I had like six upkeep spells.
All I know is that both of my factions have no access to any mercs in their theme forces, so I don't feel sorry for y'all.
You have access to mercenaries in minion theme forces.
No, I am allowed to take the minions that are already in my lists.
But some like of those are mercenaries.
No, I can't just take steelheads. Like everyone else can do that.
No, but you said you couldn't. You didn't have access to mercenaries. You have access to some mercenaries, but a limited set. Mercenaries that you can take.
Have access to out of my faction mercenary.
You don't have access of the mercenaries you want. There's a difference.
Well, no.
I can only take my faction models.
He's basically saying every other force out there can choose.
I know what he's saying. I'm trolling him.
No, I refuse.
But that's the thing is that the only like why? Why?
Exactly.
If everyone else is allowed to take steelheads and shit like that, why uniquely are you only not allowing minions to do it? Like I can even allow convergence because they're a special case and they can't do it even out of theme.
Except
so I understand
Eilish
that.
Garrity.
Except Eilish. But
fuck Eilish.
I need to get a second one so I can mod it, but that can wait until he's publicly available.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I need to give him robot heads. I'm surprised he's not yet. I mean, he's been out for a while.
Yeah.
The point is, seriously, what the fuck? Why can't I take like steelheads and stuff like that in my theme forces? Like
mercenaries
else
are
in
the same boat too.
But
I can't
how many
take minions.
Do steelheads work for any hordes factions?
You're missing my point.
Okay.
Jerk.
Okay.
You butt.
I didn't see any other Zappity Grumbles at all. If I did, I'm sorry, and I'll try to mention them next week.
That's fine. We're getting long anyway. Just told that pork chops are on the grill. I think they'll be cold by the time I get home.
Pork chop sandwiches!
Talking about the original internet.
Pork chop sandwiches?
Pork chop sandwiches!
I don't remember the...
What?
I don't remember that.
Do you remember those weirdly dubbed G.I. Joe... you remember that at the end of G.I. Joe, they'd have like the little mini public service announcements things. Way at the beginning of the internet, somebody released a whole bunch of those like redubbed to be bizarre as fuck.
Sure.
And one of them had the guy like running around yelling pork chop sandwiches.
Okay.
And one of the minions in Venture Brothers has a pork chop sandwiches t-shirt as a reference to that because, of course, he's a giant nerd. It's the fat one. I can never remember which one's name is which.
I think that's
23 or 21.
21, because 24 is the guy who's dead, I believe. No. Yeah.
Either way, Venture Brothers is
dead. New Venture Brothers this summer.
Sure. I mean, it's finally time for season 3. It's only been 72 years since season 2 came out.
Last season was pretty decent. It was better than I expected.
That was in the Reagan administration, right?
Yes. The wall fell down.
Yeah. Slowest goddamn show.
Yeah.
It is the George R.R. Martin of television shows.
When Rick and Morty was basically talking about how they weren't, you know, season 4 wasn't going to happen, that I thought we were going to get a Venture Brothers out of them. You know, you know, 4 years from now we'll get a new episode, and then 2 years after that we'll get a season again.
Half a season.
Yeah. Venture Brothers has been all good, though. That is something I wish I owned the Blu-rays for, everything for it.
Well, you could buy them.
Yeah, I could.
There you go. Wishes do come true.
Oh, wow, I can buy them. Oh, neat. Tilt your head back. It's probably my favorite. I started watching all the Aqua Teens as well recently, and Antenna is a really good episode. You don't remember Antenna, do you?
I don't.
Do you remember Antenna?
I have never watched an episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force all the way through.
Let's make and receive cellular phone calls with Boost Mobile.
That's something else that's going on the whiteboard.
Let's make and receive cellular phone calls with Boost Mobile.
Oh, God.
Shake signs a contract to promote Boost Mobile, so he'll just randomly shout that throughout the episode.
And he's got like Boost Mobile sunglasses on. He's got
he's like stickered up like a NASCAR.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Let's make and
receive cellular phone calls with Boost Mobile.
His birthday song, which he rewrote, that was great, was Zach Wilde.
Yep. That's a legitimately great show. I mean, there are a few hit and miss episodes, and sometimes I felt like they leaned on some of the recurring characters like the Moon Knights too much, but in general, that show was amazing. The Cybernetic Ghost of Christmas Past is one of my favorite holiday episodes of anything ever.
Yeah. Yeah. That's worth watching even if it's not Christmas.
You make my house bleed right now!
Yeah, Danzig is on this episode.
Danzig out of nowhere. Let's just have Danzig guest starring in our fucking 12-minute long cartoon food stuff holiday special.
Yeah, watching the Carl do the whole Deadpool thing was a nice flashback. I miss seeing Carl do Carl stuff.
I also like that when they found out that they were being canceled, they changed their theme song to talk about how they would never be canceled and they were going to be on forever and there's no way the show would ever end. And so they had like a whole half a season of Aqua Teen Forever.
All right. End of this Everyday Grumble. Let's go to recommendations. Recommendations. I recommend go see Upgrade. It's if you can see it.
If your friend invites you.
It's a very limited. You said manager work shit. And I'm like, I can't invite Nathan for anything now on the weekend because he's manager work. Yeah. I suppose I could have mentioned that. Yeah. I could have found out you were at work.
Coincidentally, I almost bought tickets for it last night, like with Raylene. I was like, we should go see Solo or Upgrade tomorrow morning. And then instead we fell asleep.
Yeah.
What is Upgrade anyway?
Upgrade!
Upgrade is just like a standard action flick. It's brought to you by Blumhouse Films, which is known for their horror films. Okay. It's very graphic, so it earns its R rating.
Okay.
Yeah, basically somebody... main character, the protagonist is protagonist. That's the good guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The protagonist.
The protagonist gets paralyzed, and then he gets a chip he put in.
People kill his wife and paralyze him at the same time.
Yeah.
And probably then, rape his wife too. I mean, it's a revenge flick.
No, she's just killed.
Oh, just killed. Okay. So it's not like the best of the worst style where it's always rape.
No.
Okay. So kill his wife, paralyze him.
Paralyzed, and then he gets an offer to put a chip in his spine that basically controls his body and then can cause him to do superhuman style things.
Well, initially it just like is to let him walk again.
Correct.
But there's an AI in the chip and the chip's like, "Hey, you wanted me to take the driver's seat for a little bit." And
so he overclocks himself.
He overclocks himself, the AI kicks the shit out of people.
Okay,
there's it's in the trailer. So if you've watched the trailer, you know what it is. Well, the trailer just basically shows him being choked out by a guy. He asks the AI for help. AI helps him. He just immediately stands up and then just starts kicking the guy's ass. But the look on his face is...
because he's out of control.
He has no idea what's going on. And he's just like smashing things on the guy's head. He's like, no!
And he's like, dude, stop it. Dude, stop. Like to the other guy. He's just like, stop fighting back.
Like the knife play on there too. Yeah. It's like, he's got a knife. He's like, I know, the AI says. And then...
now we have a knife.
Yeah. It's an entertaining film. Plot is plot. You expect everything's there's nothing in the dark.
He's going to murder all the naughty people, and that's going to be the end of the movie. Right?
Yeah. It's worth it. It actually has got pretty decent reviews.
90% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. It's like,
which I went into the movie. I went into the movie expecting a shoot 'em up. I expected a Crank style movie. It is not those movies. It is a little bit more serious than. The action sequences are awesome, but I mean it's a more serious
film. Tongue in cheek.
It is not tongue in cheek. No, the way that he eliminates that first guy.
Yeah, I saw the Redbound trailer. Yeah, and when it's in the trailer, so I'm not gonna not spoil it. But when you hold a knife in someone's head, in someone's mouth, and then kick them in the back of the head, that's not good for their head.
No.
It's pretty bad.
Like that seems like not a nice thing to do to somebody.
It's not a nice thing to do to somebody.
Bojangles! Knife to see you. That's really the same joke. I just used nice as knife, but in a different sentence.
You watched Alekhine's Gun from Funhouse with me, and they're doing all the horrible knife jokes.
No.
On there?
Oh. Yes, I did.
You just want to do that so you don't watch it again with me.
No, I did watch it. I did watch it because they were like sneaking around in something with some sneaky sneak, and then they had a knife, and yeah. Yeah, I watched that. I watched it. I recommend Tyranny, which is a, if you think of the like 90s isometric RPGs, like the original Fallout or mm-hmm. or Baldur's mm-hmm. Gate or whatever, Tyranny is a really recent one. It came out in a week after the 2016 presidential election, which might be part of the reason it didn't sell too well, because people kind of weren't in the mood for a game where you played as a bad person when the actual world was going into hell. But anyway, so it's that style of game. It's by Oblivion, the people who did like Fallout New Vegas and a bunch of the old like mm-hmm. Planescape Torment style, those mm-hmm. games. So it's their mm-hmm. bailiwick. It's a lot of fun. You get to play as an evil person, which is rare in RPGs, and it's enjoyable. It's not Dungeon Keeper. Instead, you're kind of like a crony of the Dungeon Keeper.
Okay.
And so you're more like a, you know, you're the Vader to the Palpatine.
Mid-level functionary.
I mean, you're still relatively yeah. high. You're at least yeah. a Grand Moff Tarkin. You might even be a Vader, but you're not the Emperor.
Yeah.
Right? And so it actually is kind of funny because in the beginning of it, you're already like a well-known badass.
Sure.
And because you're like, you've crushed rebellions already. And so in the dialogue options, you can just stare at people and they get scared and, you know, stop talking back to you. There's a great moment where like one of the people you're fighting, they start monologuing at you. And if your athletics are high enough, you can just scoop up a rock and bean them in the face. And it cuts off their monologue, which is hilarious. But the double hilarious is later on in the game. If you've done that, you meet that person again, and one of your dialogue options is to point at their forehead and ask how their head feels, because they still have the scar. It's just a lot of fun. Also, this is more useful for the live viewers, because it'll probably be expired by tomorrow, because I think it was just through the weekend. But if you go on GOG, the Good Old Games version of Steam, there are two codes right now, GOGGWENT50 and GOGGWENT.
Is this some more Gwent shit?
No, it isn't. GOGGWENT50 and GOGGWENT75 are coupon codes that they sent out to people who played mm-hmm. Gwent, and they are good on a bunch of games okay. right now. The GOGGWENT75 gives you 75% off of Tyranny. It also has mm-hmm. the old Vampire the Masquerade, like Bloodlines and stuff, those games. Sure. You can get for like a nickel. It has both the Banner Sagas on there. It has Pyre, which is a great RPG/basketball mm-hmm. game. It has a bunch of stuff. So when you listen to this podcast, go on GOG and try GOG Gwent 50 and GOG Gwent 75. I think they're only good through today. They might be good through Monday, though. I'm a little confused because I thought the coupon said it was good through Monday the 3rd, and Monday's the 4th. So one of those two things I'm misremembering, and I don't remember which one it is. That's my recommendation.
Really? Well, I'll recommend actually playing Caster Draft because it was fun.
There we go. And we already talked about it a lot. So
yeah, I can talk about it. I can
the
talk about more
will be
ridiculous
cut off when I run it yeah. run it through the filter though. But it was a pretty lengthy silence for you guys that are listening.
Well, I mean,
to the
we spent
version.
Some time talking about it, and I enjoyed it. I mean, I think it's interesting. I mean, admittedly, part of it was looking at the discussion as we're like, okay, that person just took Lola, and now we need to make sure they also don't get Engine of Destruction.
Sure. So, did Rick do the redrafting after each round, or the partial redraft after each round? Okay, because it was probably smaller enough that it was not necessary.
I'm not entirely sold on the redrafting thing, but it's a casual format.
The thing is, so it's yeah, sorry, folks, but it generally
I still recommend buying Tyranny even without the 75% discount.
It's generally with those type of events, though, some people don't take it as a casual event. I mean, it's built to be casual, and some people don't take it that way, and that's sometimes where the fun gets lost. Yeah. You know, you have somebody that, you know, steamrolls it all over everybody else, and, you know, then...
Like when I showed up to an event not realizing, A, it was Who's the Boss, and B, not really understanding what Who's the Boss was, and I went undefeated and had the lowest score in the event.
Correct, because you played it wrong.
Yes, because I played it horribly wrong.
Yeah. But I mean, it's kind of something like that. I mean, yeah. All right, so I guess we'll call it here.
All right,
we're a little shorter today, but you know, hey,
it's an hour and a half.
An hour and a half is good.
Yep.
Yeah, I got pork chops waiting for me at home.
Yep. Those are always fine. You can always reheat pork chops.
That's true. I mean, it's not like they're usually overcooked to start. Like, everybody overcooks pork chops, and then, man, do they turn to hockey pucks when you reheat them.
So you're one of those people who likes a trichinosis special?
Excuse you. Perfect pork is pink. Trichinosis is far less common than people claim. It's okay to have a little pink hue in the middle of your pork chops.
As long as it's warmed up.
Sure, yeah, it's cooked through. I mean, same thing. I will eat all the goddamn cookie dough on the planet. Fuck you.
You can eat salmonella.
Eat a dick. You get salmonella from eating my dick.
What does salmonella do? It just gives you the shits. Isn't it?
I'm more concerned. Honestly, I say I'm more concerned about trichinosis than salmonella.
What's trichinosis?
It's a parasite of pork.
It's a little.
Just give you the shits? Because I'm fine with that, too. Because you lose weight when you have the shits.
It's kind of like a tapeworm, but instead of being in your intestines, it lives inside of your muscle tissue and eats your muscle tissue.
Oh, yeah. I don't like that.
So, yeah, it's really bad. But I'll do the tapeworm, though. It's pretty much non-existent in commercialized pork in industrial societies. Like, you get it if you eat a wild boar that you shot in the outback. You don't get it from a pig from a reputable farm. Like, it's not something that still is common there.
Also, or in California.
It dies at a way lower temperature than people think it does, so you don't need to blast the hell out of your pork chops. You can have moist, slightly pink pork chops and be fine.
Sure.
Pork is not chicken. It isn't like any aspect of pink is lethal. You can have a little.
Okay, so what I learned from this is we can't eat pork from Australia and that we need to cook it. We don't have to cook it all the way through.
That is correct. I was expecting a sarcastic response, but those are indeed the correct things to have learned.
All right.
I was waiting for your intentionally incorrect mislearn, and it didn't come, and it just threw me.
Sometimes I actually learn things.
Hooray! Edumacational.
Oh, yeah. All right, thanks, guys, for watching. Right. We'll catch you guys next week. I assume we're going to broadcast at normal time, but I'll tweet you guys later if we change that. Yay!
Tweet us on the web zone.